How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
His whole campaign was looking backwards. You didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. Whatever your problem is, I'm going to solve it.
That's Hillary Clinton speaking this week at the India Today Conclave. She was talking about the 2016 presidential election. Now, been a lot of reaction to her comments about the election, especially about what she had to say with respect not only to the campaign, but to those who voted for President Trump. She called the campaign backward, strongly implied that the Americans who voted for President Trump were backward as well, as you can hear from her words. Joining us to talk about Hillary Clinton's recent comments on the presidential election at that conference in India, Holly Shear, Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Backwards, Hillary Clinton Apparently Still Has No Clue Why She Lost. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
As a wife and mother who can look out her window and on a daily basis and see no buildings taller than two stories in open space, as far as the eye can see, how did you first react to Mrs. Clinton's description of voters living in rural red states?
Yeah, I mean, you've been to Cheyenne. Cheyenne is a really rural place, and it really represents a lot of this flyover country that Hillary Clinton was bashing so much. And I think it really shows how out of touch she is with rural America in general. She talks about how she won the coast, you know, the coast went blue, and then all in between was all of this red. And she says it in a really disparaging way. She talks about so much of America, and she ignores all of the serious issues affecting rural America that, you know, the coasts, the blue areas don't necessarily face, you know, issues like poverty and joblessness, you know, things you see in the news all the time, the opioid epidemic, the staggering suicide rate. She doesn't touch on any of that stuff when she talks about rural America. She just kind of writes it off as this empty space in between the big cities.
So do you think that Mrs. Clinton has only recently soured on that sector of the American electorate?
You know, she didn't really campaign very strongly in rural America. She focused very strongly in the places she thought she would pull well. And by all reports, she was very surprised when she lost the election. It was a really, really difficult time for her. And I think that's sad. And I think the souring happened kind of around that time. And she really did expect to win, and I still don't think she understands at all why Trump won and she lost. And when you listen to her talk about American people in general, she has this really sharp divide in her mind. There's two Americas. There's the America that supports, in her mind, still her, and there's the America who doesn't. And she can't really reconcile in her mind that, you know, there's Americans, there's all of us together in this, and we needed someone who could represent all of us and bring us together and fight to make all of us stronger and better and healthier as a country.
What did you make of her comparing herself to a mother when she was running for president?
As a mother, that part really bothered me. You know, part of being a mom is that you build your kids up when you talk to other people about them. You know, sure, you encourage your kids to do things that are healthy. She talked about, as a mom, you encourage your kids to eat spinach, was what she said. And she talked about President Trump just told them to eat fast food and ice cream, is what she said. And it was really disparaging. You don't fly across the ocean to another country to sit there and make fun of your kids. If you want to call yourself the mother of a nation, don't go to another continent to make fun of your kids. That's rude. And it is really patronizing. A mother who sits there and runs down her children constantly and calls them backwards isn't a mother who really loves their children. And that's not the mother that Americans needed or wanted.
Was her characterization of Americans who voted for Donald Trump at all accurate?
I don't really think so. She talked about a characterization of Americans that maybe would have been kind of accurate in the 1950s, the 1940s, but it's not really accurate today. She rattled off this list of Americans were looking backwards and they didn't like black people getting rights. They didn't like women. They didn't like, since this happened in India, she listed American Indians succeeding more than them. She listed off all of these things that really don't resonate when you talk to Americans with their actual concerns. Americans want their fellow people to have jobs. They want women to be successful. They want their wives and mothers and sisters and daughters to be safe, to be happy, to be, you know, safe in their vocations. They want all of their neighbors to be able to have good lives. She really did not characterize Americans in a fair way, and she didn't characterize Americans in a way that really showed that she wanted to represent them.
In your opinion, what did her description of the Trump campaign as a reality TV campaign, I think are the words she used, imply about the American electorate?
She did. She was using this to kind of caution the Indian politicians and voters about this in the future. She said this was the first USA reality TV campaign and that it would be coming sometime to a campaign near them. And it really made Americans sound gullible and lazy. It showed how disdaining she was for Americans too, that they were really just duped into voting, not just for Trump, but against her by clever marketing and entertainment. She really made it that it wasn't even about the issues and promises and campaign strategies, that it was just based on entertainment. And it made Americans in general sound like we're a bunch of silly teenagers sitting there in front of our TVs, just picking someone based on popularity. And I don't know about you, but that's really not how I make my political decisions. And that's not how my friends and neighbors and fellow church members make them either.
Holly Shearer is our guest. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Backwards, Hillary Clinton Apparently Still Has No Clue Why She Lost. When we come back, what adjectives did she use to describe the people who did vote for her? How did Christian communities in the past respond to godless cultures? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is titled Embracing Godly Character, The Christian Community's Response to a Godless Culture. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Embracing Godly Character at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Embracing Godly Character, 1-800-325-3040.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Trinity Lutheran Church, LCMS of Tryon, North Carolina, also serves the South Carolina upstate. We uphold the confessional standard of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. We follow the apostolic practice of celebrating the Lord's Supper each Lord's Day using a biblical historic liturgy. Our small parish is teeming with little ones along with many of retirement age. Several Issues Etc. listeners have been welcomed into Christ's fold here from outside Lutheranism. We invite any unchurched in the area to join us at 10:15 each Sunday.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These 6 engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholes. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Hillary Clinton's recent comments on the 2016 presidential election at a conference in India. Holly Shear of The Federalist is our guest. Holly, you were talking before about the way that Mrs. Clinton had described voters who had voted for Donald Trump. Talk a little bit about the adjectives that she used to describe Americans who voted for her.
Yeah, she described them as optimistic, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. You know, it's so generic. It's like she thumbed open a thesaurus and she grabbed this list of positive words for progressive people, and she just decided to go and roll with it. It ignores all of the actual issues facing liberal politics, and it makes her sound really out of touch. There's no actual concrete policy in there about her political party. It's just shining and beautiful and ignores the really kind of troubling things happening right now. So everything happening on the liberal side, good, beautiful, diverse, dynamic, moving forward. She talks also about how they're the ones contributing all of the fiscal responsibility and, you know, money-making things happening in our country too. So again, it's a really divided America that she was selling to the Indian people.
As you mentioned here, the comments were made while on a speaking tour in India. Does that context matter? Does it mean something?
You know, I think it actually really does. She was speaking at something called the India Today Conclave, which is a meeting point for the best minds from India, is how they bill it. And it is this big event that happens yearly in India, and it is supposed to be talking about the geopolitical and economic future of India. This is not an event happening in India to talk about America. And so she went, she flew across the world, it's a really long flight, to go to India to talk at an event in India about India's problems, which are huge. They are legion. India is facing serious issues. And she didn't give them any solutions, any suggestions for solving their problems. Instead, she sat there and she ran us down. America is in a position where, you know, we're going through some changes and we need to start looking at some different allies, and we need to maybe change the way we interact with different countries. And this is an opportunity to talk to India in a different way. And instead, she went and she vented her frustrations about losing the election and her frustrations about the American people. And as she kept making these jokes about Americans and the way we interact with the media and the way we interact with politics and our president, the people in the audience were laughing at Americans because the way she was portraying us. And so this wasn't even an American audience listening to her and her spiel about Americans. This was a foreign audience who showed up to listen to solutions about their issues and instead heard a really biased view of Americans. And I think that's a really troubling thing.
2 final questions for you. Did she at all address the real issues that middle America, as she might say red state America, are facing right now?
No, she didn't. There was no solution in there for the way wages have stayed out of pace with inflation and the way education has really struggled with the student loan debt that so many of our people, our pastors included, face, and the way many families are struggling with family members who might have addiction issues. She didn't address the way American children might not feel terribly safe in their schools right now. You know, she doesn't face any of the things we see in our homes, in our media, that politicians are struggling to address in terms of compassionate policy. She doesn't handle any of that. And some of that is, I don't know that she has any actual solutions for these things. Instead, she sits there and she just takes really cheap pot shots at things that don't need actual solutions because they're not real problems.
Finally, you call Mrs. Clinton's statements about half the American electorate a straw man. Why?
I call it a straw man because she sets up a fake America and then she just sits there and knocks it down. She talks about an America that maybe existed in Leave It to Beaver and she makes fun of it and then she just kind of kicks it down for laughs. And it's so disappointing. We don't need people who sit there and make America sound worse than it is. We need people who sit there and give us hope and remind us that all of the bad things that are happening, there's good things happening too. And life doesn't have to be terrible. There are good things coming. And it's time to have some faith and some hope that maybe the future can be better for us and better for our children. She could have pointed out that life doesn't have to be terrible and we don't have to look backwards. She kept talking about looking backwards. We don't need to look backwards at how things were. We can instead start looking forwards and moving in a better direction.
One other idea here, if you had a minute or two to talk with Senator Clinton about this and say, look, I know this is hard. I mean, you very publicly lost an election that many people say you should have won by all accounts. And I know that you're and everyone's looking for an explanation. What advice would you give her about what she has to say about Americans from this point on?
I think first, any time that you are tearing someone else down to make yourself sound better, you've automatically lost. At the point where you have nothing good to say about what you can offer people, and instead you just need to make the other person sound bad, that's why you've lost. You need, especially as a politician, to tell people not what the other person is going to fail to do, but what you can actually do. I think that's really where she has struggled and where she struggled the whole time. She needs to sit down if she wants to have a chance at representing Americans in the future and really look at what Americans want and what they need and what their hopes and dreams are and say, do I have a plan? Is this something I can actually offer them? And if she thinks she can, I don't know if that's actually something she's capable of. She needs to do that instead of tearing everyone around her down.
Holly Scheer is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children, Cheyenne, Wyoming, author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Backwards, Hillary Clinton Apparently Still Has No Clue Why She Lost. You can read it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Thanks, Holly.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, the big news today is the death of physicist Stephen Hawking. We'll talk about the life, legacy, and work of Stephen Hawking with Dr. Brian Miller, Research Coordinator for the Center for Science and Culture at the Discovery Institute, right after this.
We're currently faced with a crisis in Christianity, a life and death struggle between orthodoxy and heresy, between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults.
The Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The prosperity gospel, it's nothing short of a wholesale transformation of Christianity. It's the glory of the cross supplanted by the glory of consumerism. It's a fast food Christianity. It's long on looks, but it is dreadfully short on substance.
You can meet and hear Hank Hanegraaff at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a conference schedule, and you can register at issuesetc.org. Don't miss the premier conference for Christian laity, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC RUCAM. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
What does it mean to live the good life? Lots of money, power, fame, health, beauty? Or does the good life mean something a little different for Christians? In its Lenten issue, the Lutheran Witness looks at elements of the Bible's countercultural vision for good living, including prayer, fasting, piety, and trusting God's Word. Goodness, it turns out, is good. Who knew? Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.